Hi, Aradia.
Hey, Liz.
How are you?
Doing good. I'm here with my tea and my blanket, and I am good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm also here with my tea and spoiling myself with my electric blanket.
Cold.
Right? I had to go outside today, and it was horrifying. It was 8 degrees outside.
Yep.
Screw that.
It is absolutely in the middle of winter right now.
And you know what comes with winter?
What comes with winter?
Snow.
Snow, yes. It
Which
definitely
we've
does.
Gotten a little buried in late. Well, not buried in, but we got a good snowstorm the other day.
We did, which we really needed, and I'm so happy about it.
Why do you say we needed it?
Huh?
I said, I hate snow, so please enlighten me.
It was the kind of snowstorm that I wish we had right before Christmas.
That makes sense.
You know? We got it like couple weeks late. That's okay. But I have a 6, almost 7-year-old witchlet at home who absolutely adores making snowmen. So we hope for at least a couple good snowstorms every winter.
That's fair.
So what's new in your world, Liz?
Well, a little bit of elephant in the room. I just wanted to thank you and the listeners really quick for their patience with a couple missed episodes. Unfortunately, there was a passing away in the family that we needed to take care of and honor. So it was unexpected, obviously, and I just appreciate everybody just kind of giving us that grace as we start this.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. But besides that, got a little bit of sickness in the house that we're all quarantining and taking care of, and just, you know, fun candle stuff and all that. That's about it.
Cool, cool, cool.
What about you?
Oh, I go to work, I come home, and I talk to my camera. That's about it for me.
I couldn't tell if you were going to say...
My life sounds so glamorous when I talk about it like that.
Right? I couldn't tell if you were going to say camera or cat. It's like, either way, both? Viable.
Both? This morning I woke up to her under the blankets between my legs because it was so cold.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, back to the, 8 degrees.
Right, exactly.
I swear, if it wasn't for all of the people around here and, like, my job, I would not live in New England any longer. I don't like the winter.
See, winter, I definitely don't like being cold. I don't like being hot even more. Because with winter, you can always put more layers on.
Mm-hmm. And it's and not like something... I actually leave the house often.
Right. There's something magical about living in New England that I don't think I'd want to give up for anything.
That's fair.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do if we... There's magic about winter and snow, too.
Yeah, I don't know what we would do if we couldn't just, like, take a day trip to Salem.
Right, exactly. In fact, I'm going there on Saturday. It's going to be great as long as it's not 5 degrees.
Jealous. Quarantine should be over by then, right?
Welcome to 2 by Torchlight, where we dive deep and get real about magic and witchcraft, its relationship to science and pop culture, and what it's really like to build a modern practice that's accessible, effective, and unique to you. I'm Aradia, your veteran witch.
And I'm Liz, a newer practitioner. Hang out with us round the torchlight as we talk all things woo and witchcraft. So, speaking of the magic of winter and snow and all of that, is that what mm-hmm. you're going to teach us about today, Aradia? I say, like I don't already know.
Absolutely. So, winter is a super magical time. And I feel like it gets almost overlooked a lot because spring and summer and fall are these wonderful times where they have their own unique magic, but like you can go outdoors, right? You can go dance around the maypole, or you can go light bonfires, or you can go to the beach and you can go hiking and be out in the woods. And so winter requires us to be inside, at least if you live, you know, in a cold area like we do. And it almost feels like there's less that you can do around this time of year in terms of magic, because you're sort of stuck hibernating. But I think there's just an amazing magic in that need to hibernate and to go within and to sort of slow down and quiet your life a little bit. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Nice. It reminds me of like this word and this concept that you kind of I never knew this word existed before you said it, but like this liminal time of like just kind of you can't really get out much. Not a whole lot changes during this season usually. So yeah, it's kind of that period of just waiting.
Absolutely. One of the things that I love most about winter time and this idea of like magic in winter is this idea that like when it snows, right after it snows, it creates this, like you said, liminal space, this in-between time of everything is still and quiet. Like right after a heavy snowstorm, when you walk outside, nobody's moving around, nobody's out, and it's just everything feels so peaceful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and a lot of that too, like just kind of a bit more into like the science of it is snow, especially when it's that really light, fluffy snow that we get a lot instead of that like really wet, icy slush that we sometimes can get. If mm-hmm. it's that really fluffy, heavy, there's a lot of like air incorporated to it once it settles on the ground. And it has this like sound dampening effect, very similar to being in like a soundproofed like booth. That mm-hmm. has this, it just has that very dampening effect. So that quiet is one that you really don't get to hear it this quiet that often. There's no like animal sounds. There's a lot of the time nobody's out on the streets. So there isn't like car sounds or anything like that. So it very much has this enhanced feeling of just everything is completely still and silent.
Right. And snow and winter and that sort of environment really teaches us how to find stillness within ourselves, like how to quiet down, how to sort of like freeze a moment in time and really be able to examine that. And I think that goes a long way towards like working magic and personal development and like shadow work and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's those moments where like you can hear your own heartbeat in your ears. And not only can you hear yourself breathing, but you can see it in the air, like as it fogs. It's just, I don't know. It's just so cool to me. As much as I hate winter and I hate the snow.
Yeah.
Those moments are so cool.
One of my favorite things about wintertime too is, so water is very reflective, right? And so it feels like it's so much brighter than it actually is when everything is covered in snow, because like the ambient light from the atmosphere is reflecting off of the snow and then it's reflecting off of the clouds and it's just all this light gets bounced around. There's a stretch of highway in the city that I live in that I love to drive over after it snowed or drive through after it snowed because it just, the whole sky seems like it's backlit. And it's just a really cool effect that you only get in the wintertime. And so because snow is reflective, it really plays on this juxtaposition of darkness. We're in the depths of winter, but there's still light to be found.
Fun fact, you can actually get a sunburn in the winter because it has the same effect. Like, you know how a sunburn can be a lot worse when you're swimming in a pool or at the ocean because sun reflects off of water?
Yeah.
Same principle. You can get a sunburn in the winter. I learned that the hard way one year.
The things you learn living in New England.
that reflectivity, absolutely. If you've ever heard that from your parents about wearing sunscreen in the water because of that, it is very much just as true when it comes to snow and that reflectivity and blindingness.
Absolutely. So another thing that I love about snow and what it can teach us is the sense of like flexibility and resiliency. And also sort of like the idea of going with the flow and shifting with changes. Because like snow, as it's falling, it looks so delicate. And like when you catch a snowflake, it's so delicate and fragile. And even like in the middle of a blizzard, snow is still falling like at the whim of the air. It can move and shift and change like on a dime. But a little, even just a little snow can make for a really bad day if the weather conditions are correct. Or, I've seen a little bit of snow, especially up in this area, a little bit of snow, and then the temperature drops and everything freezes will, like, knock down perfectly healthy and strong trees and, like, cave in less structural buildings like sheds and things. Like, snow is so light and delicate and fragile, but it has such a strength and power behind it that I think it really helps to remind us that there can be strength in something that looks gentle.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you remember they weren't even snowstorms or blizzards or anything like that, but back in like what it was, it 2005, 2007, we had that ice storm where it rained and then the next day it froze so cold that like trees went down, power lines went down, and at least where I lived at the time, we lost power for a full 2 weeks.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I remember it had to be somewhere around there because it was the first or second winter that we went through after I moved up here, because I lived in like the city as when I was younger. It was our first year kind of being in a rural area and we didn't have a generator.
Oh no.
That was the year we learned we needed one. But yeah, just no snow, nothing like that, just ice. And it caused that much. I think the entirety of the southern state went down at like some point or another, but we went down for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I mean, ice is the same way. Think about how fragile it is. Like, icicles will fall and break if you look at them wrong, but enough ice will absolutely down power lines and like put the state out of power for days at a time.
Not to mention like black ice and all of that. For those of you that don't know what that phenomenon is, it's ice that freezes so clear on like roads that you cannot see it.
Yeah.
And it's real fun.
We're really convincing people to move to New England right now.
Yep. There's a reason we all bitch about it.
But also there's a reason that we live here, because
stubbornness.
Having four seasons to me is really important.
Oh, 100%.
And there's so much magic and enjoyment behind snow and ice and all of this stuff that we're complaining about right now. Like I said, snow really teaches you to shift and go with the flow and to recognize that situations may change and sort of roll with those punches.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, especially when it comes to like this New England area, it definitely feels like there's a certain like camaraderie and like just shared experience when it comes to like, it's one of the reasons so many people say like, oh, New Englanders are just a, you know, their own little thing, or they group New Englanders as a whole instead of just like the single states, is because there's definitely that like shared experience and that shared like just camaraderie when it comes to it.
Oh yeah. Not even to mention the shared history and all of that stuff.
I know words good. You know that.
One of my favorite TikTokers is the guy that talks about winter in New England.
Yes.
And is like always going like, out for his ice Dunkins.
Your roommate from California visits you in Massachusetts.
Yes. He's hilarious. I love it.
Yes, he is amazing. I will find him and link him, but he is great.
And nothing he says is a lie. Literally nothing he says is a lie. But back to snow. Another really magical thing that I love about snow is that it really encourages us to take time for ourselves. Because, like, think of those days when you don't have to go out to work. You know, those of us who still leave the house to go to work.
Be mad about
there's
it.
There's nowhere. Yeah. There's nowhere for you to be, and it's snowing. And so you can just stay at home and relax and be in your PJs and have a cup of tea. And snow forces us to take breaks and pauses in our lives, which a lot of people I know do not do.
Hi.
A lot of people actively struggle against it, looking at myself right now.
Uh-huh.
And so snow is literally like Mother Nature stepping up and saying, hey, it's time for everybody to sit down and take a break for a minute. Like, recoup, take a breath, relax. You can go back to what you were doing tomorrow. And I think it's really important for a lot of people to sort of internalize.
Yeah, and not only that, but like there's also, especially if you've grown up in this area or, you know, somewhere that does get a lot of heavy snow, it has this like almost ingrained memory of like snow days. And that being such a core piece of our childhoods while growing up in areas that get a lot of heavy snow, because I actually, again, just saw somebody talking about this on TikTok, where nowadays kids, which I'm still so glad they've been doing snow days, even if schools are like hybrid or still home or stuff like that, that they still kind of honored that. But nowadays, you know, parents get text messages and stuff. But way back when, we used to have to sit in front of the local news and watch the ticker across the bottom. Yes.
And heaven forbid you have to go to the bathroom and miss, like, your section. And then you have to sit through the whole thing over again.
Or, like, you'd shit talk other schools. Like, oh, yeah, if that school's closed, we're definitely going to be closed. And then you saw that, like, you only got a 2-hour delay and it's bullshit.
Yeah.
but then again, like once you saw your school pass through the ticker, that was it. You had a whole day to seize and get as much fun as you could fit into that day done. So like, you know, we would hop into our, like, you know, Michelin Man snowsuits, and where you couldn't put your arms down all the way, and we'd book it outside. And we used to have this like hill next to the house with our shed down at the bottom that we broke because we slid into the door so many times.
That's amazing.
There's just that like, again, that same feel of like harnessing what you can and shaking it up. So even if it's not quite as calm as like something like you're talking about, especially now where we're adults and it's kind of more of like a, oh, we get to stay inside and read and like, It there's still that energy on the other side of the spectrum where it's like,
right,
oh my God, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hurry up and do nothing all day.
Right.
So all of this is to sort of build the feeling of what snow can bring and evoke in a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what about like practical ways of using snow in your magic? Can you think of anything?
So, I mean, at its core, snow is just water in a different state. So I have to imagine you can use it similarly to how you would use water in a spell.
So you can absolutely use snow, melted snow, in place of any time that you would need water. I love using melted snow water for when I'm doing a spell or doing some kind of work that requires that essence of stillness. Or requires that essence of, like, freezing something in time. You know, any thought or intention that you would assign the general picture of snow in your mind, everything that we were just talking about, you can use melted snow as the water in a spell for those intentions. One of the things that I love to do is collect snow from the first significant snowfall of the year, and then melt it and keep it for spell work. And I'll usually like stick it out under the first full moon following that first snowfall, charge it up all nice and good, and then you have like full moon snow water, you know?
Just make sure it's clean snow. No yellow snow water, please.
Absolutely. But also like make sure it's not dirty. So that's why I stress like a significant snowfall, like that first dusting that we get in like maybe the beginning of November or late October. That's not going to give you enough snow to collect unless you put out a clean bowl and like you know it's coming and you put out a clean bowl to collect it. But you want to make sure there's no dust and debris or urine or, you know, anything like that. So the first salt significant too. Snowfall. Yeah.
Yeah. Road salt.
Right. So I love doing that. Snow water is particularly suited for freezing spells. So there's this whole branch of magic where if you're freezing something symbolically, like stopping gossip or, you know, freezing someone's intentions towards you or like trying to break a habit. There's a whole theme of magic where, you know, you basically physically toss something in a freezer and you freeze it and you stop it in its tracks. Often freezing it in water or like ice cube trays or something. Use snow water to freeze it and give it like an extra dose of, you know, that stopping, that stillness, that cold, that theme of cold. And you can do that even in the dead of summer if you still have the water sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
Other uses for water would be like with scrying. So when you have a bowl, like a dark colored bowl, and you put water in it and you try to find like images and stuff on the surface of the water. I like using snow water for that because snow has that image of stillness and peace and quiet, right? And sort of like a moment frozen in time. And so it just gives it a little bit more oomph if I'm going to be scrying to use that kind of water to do it with. So when I was doing research for this episode, I was looking up different, you know, winter folk magics and things like that. And I found this great spell idea for if you need to release something. The spell specifically called for releasing anger,
mm-hmm.
but you could absolutely use it with anything you're looking to release, whether it's anger or another emotion or bad habits or even like extra pent up energy. You basically go outside when there's snow on the ground and hold that intention in your mind while you make a snowball and like pack everything into that snowball that you're looking to release. Then you bring it inside and put it in a bowl in some kind of sacred space and then allow the snowball to melt while you just completely ignore it. Like, don't pay any attention to it. Don't give it any time of day. Fill that time waiting for it to melt with something that brings you joy, something that makes you happy, something that makes you feel warm and fulfilled. And then once the snowball's fully melted, you can bless the water and then dispose of it. If you bless it with like a little pinch of salt, you're usually, if it's just a tiny pinch, you're usually still safe to like pour it in the ground or dump it in a stream. Or you can just, you know, put it down the drain. You thank the water, but you're releasing that stuff in the water as you dispose of it, which I think is kind of like just a brilliant tactic.
Yeah, especially because it especially for, I know you've said this a lot and I've started to kind of incorporate this because it makes a lot of sense to me as well, but water already feels very cleansing.
Mm.
So like having that little bit of extra oomph, definitely, like I'm probably gonna use that. Mine'll probably end up being a snow boulder though.
Yeah. And don't forget, like Olaf says, snow has memory.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can really infuse a lot into water in general. But where snow gives you a bit more of like a solid tactile thing to work with, I feel like sometimes it's a little bit easier for people to work with snow when you're infusing the element with something than it does water, because you can, you know, mold it and you can feel it in your hands and you can pack up a snowball and then like throw it really hard at somebody or something.
Yeah, inherently it feels like a more solid thing in general. So, like, I don't know, I feel like it's easier to focus on.
Yeah.
Because it's more of a solid thing, and I don't know if it's the tactile portion of it, or if it's really that, you know, snow is a solid form of water, so it has that solidness built in already. But that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I just thought that spell was absolutely genius, and it's really versatile, too. You know, you can, anything that you're looking to get rid of, anything you're looking to cool down. So, like, if you think about the concept of snow is very cold, and then when you bring it inside, it starts to melt because it's warming up. So if there's a situation that you want to warm up to, or maybe there's a situation that you need to, like, sort of smooth out and, you know, calm down some emotions or something, you can use snow as the tactile component of the spell in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That's all I got on snow. But there is another aspect of winter that I think is important to talk about, partly because there's a lot of misconception around it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fact that when you're in the depths of winter, we're surrounded by darkness. And I think there's a lot to work with when we talk about the concepts of darkness, in especially during the winter when there's so much more of it and it feels so much heavier. And this idea of like embracing that darkness, but also understanding that darkness isn't what we've made it out to be in like pop culture and, you know, the sort of collective consciousness of society. Mm-hmm. Like darkness doesn't necessarily equate to evil. And I think this is a really good time to lean into learning lessons around that.
Yeah, I know. I struggle. Something that you said in the Discord really rang with me. And yes, by the way, we have a Discord. We'll link it in the show notes. But yeah, something that you said in the Discord really rang true with me in almost this like conflicting way to feel about this time of year and the darkness surrounding it. Because on one hand, seasonal depression is real and it hits real hard. But also like darkness is something that I've always kind of enjoyed more anyways. Like I'm a night owl. I usually, like, especially when I was a kid, I would always be wanting to stay up late and sleep in. I kind of look forward to that time of day, especially again, kind of bringing up the candles. It's one of the things I love to do is sit in like a dim or darkened room and just have those like flickering lights. But so like as much as I enjoy that time and that stillness and that quiet of like the darkness and the early nights, it also comes with that aspect of like that seasonal depression and all of that. So there's a lot to unpack there.
So I definitely have a tip for that seasonal depression stuff later on in the episode. Wrote it down and everything. Super proud of myself. We'll get there. But in terms of just this darkness and this idea of like hibernation, I think it's super important to our personal practice to make time for these concepts. Like the idea of hibernation is just taking time to be alone or to go within and to really work on ourselves, give our souls what it is that they need in this time. And the energy of spring and summer and even to some extent fall can be so hypercharged that it's always like this active go, go, go kind of energy. So the energy of winter, to contrast, is very much slowing down and finding moments of stillness, like we mentioned earlier, but leaning into that to embrace this darkness and to embrace this idea of it's okay to take time to focus on yourself, which is also a huge thing when it comes to combating seasonal depression. Mm-hmm. But it's also okay to spend time in that darkness as long as you know that it's not lasting forever and that the light is right around the corner. Like we mentioned earlier, even in the wintertime, light can be found everywhere, especially when it's reflecting off that snow. So delving a little bit into that darkness to learn more about yourself and to clear out the cobwebs, so to speak, is something that's really important to magic, because we can't be true to ourselves if we don't do that kind of work. And I think this is a really good time of year to focus on that. I think it gets overlooked a lot because sometimes it can be scary and shadow work can be uncomfortable. And there's a lot of traditional associations with darkness, like fear and mystery and the unknown, that make people really uncomfortable. But I think that just makes this time of year, magically speaking, even more important to do that work, because it gives you a safe container to delve down and be like, okay, where do these fears come from? Where does this fear of the unknown come from? Or where's my... that feeling of being unsure about something, where is that coming from? And how can I work on it? And how can I adjust it?
Yeah. It's interesting. This kind of just pops into my brain. It kind of playing off me talking about like having the candle in the dim or dark room. Like this time of year seems, personally for me at least, a lot about finding the light within that darkness. This is a complete tangent, I apologize. But, like, because I also just, like, thinking about it, a lot of the heaviest and brightest meteor showers happen this time of year in like the dead of winter. I'll have to double check this, but I think they happen more often in this time of year. And a lot of times, especially in years past before I became a big baby about the cold, my fiance and I would, like, there's this vivid memory I have of us and another friend of ours laying in his backyard on top of a blanket, freezing our asses off and watching this like massive meteor shower. And it's something that we always keep saying we're going to do again, but then it happens at like 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. and it's, you know, 2 degrees out and we're like, nah. But
darn those astronomical events not working to our schedule.
Right? I know. But like, Adam, it's a thing that I just kind of realized that just clicked in my head that for me personally, a lot of my thoughts this time of year trend towards finding that light amidst all of this darkness. I don't know.
That is
tangent. Sorry.
No, that's not a tangent. That's actually perfect. And you worded what I was trying to say really well.
Yay!
because, yeah, that's... So we just wrapped up Yule, or the winter solstice, right? Which is the darkest day of the year, but is also a day of, like, great celebration. And so... In the, like, weeks and months after solstice, we still have all of this darkness. But January is typically not a month that comes with a lot of celebration. So it really feels like it's a time to find that light on your own that is not connected to gathering with loved ones and friends and family and, you know, filling your life with the light of celebration. This is a time of year that's very much filling your life with the light that comes from within and finding it if you have trouble with that. There's also this idea, too, that, like, so Imbolc is right around the corner. Imbolc is a day on the wheel of the year. It's traditionally celebrated at sundown on February 1st to sundown on February 2nd. And I'm going to start by saying it is not a day I have strong connections to. It's very much a Celtic holiday. So if anything I say is incorrect, I completely apologize. This is just based on research and the little work that I do around the day. But Imbolc feels like a day of finding that inner light through the darkness. You know, the Christians call it Candlemas, and it's this time of, like, fertility and pre-birth. So, like, in Wiccan tradition, the goddess is currently pregnant with the god. The god is born at Astara, the spring equinox, and that's the day that comes after Imbolc on the wheel. So this is definitely, like, that time before a baby's born where everything is just kind of in a holding pattern. And in the middle of that holding pattern, we're doing a lot of preparation. You know, it's not, nothing's being born yet, but there's stuff that has to be done, cleaning that has to be done, building that has to be done before you can get to that time after the birth, after the fertility really kicks in where, you know, there's something new that you're starting, whether it's a baby or maybe it's a project or, you know, a new magical technique you're learning, whatever it may be. This is that time where we're setting a lot of foundation around that. And I think that can be really powerful in and of itself. You know, we talk about spring cleaning, which typically happens like when it's warm and you can throw the windows open. But historically, spring cleaning would happen earlier in the year before you would get to that point. You know, you're cleaning out everything to create a foundation for what's to come in the spring, which we can apply magically and spiritually and even like within ourselves. In terms of personal development and mental health work, shadow work, all of that.
Yeah, and I feel like that kind of almost ties into something like New Year's resolutions, where it's, again, it's setting up that base for, like, a better start in a better year for people that use resolutions. And, like, I know a lot of us say that we're going to and we don't end up, and, like, no judgment there. But, like, it almost feels like... I don't know if they're connected or if one started the other or what have you, but, like, I don't know. It feels connected in some way. or at least similar.
Like, I hate New Year's resolutions personally, because I hate the, like, the cultural phenomenon around it.
Yeah.
Where the assumed procedure is that you're going to set a whole bunch of New Year's resolutions, and by the end of January, you'll have abandoned them all. You know, I much prefer this slower process of cleansing and clearing before you start the new thing, and, like, spending time preparing for that new thing. If you do, like, long-term seasonal spells, this would be the time where you're clearing and preparing for the spell that you do in the springtime. Or, like I mentioned earlier, like, spring cleaning, cleansing spaces is done this time of year when you're doing it on a regular schedule because of all of that sort of clearing out through the darkness, bringing the light in to illuminate all of these shadows.
Also probably a really good time to go through your supplies in general, because, you know, obviously herbs are only good for so long. And, like, are there any supplies that you should maybe replace? Things like that. Also probably a very good time to do that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, if you are lucky enough to have outdoor space, this is the time when you start to plan those garden beds. Depending on where you are, like, you could be planting as early as, like, 6 weeks from now. Now, up here, we can't plant anything until, like, May, because we have to wait for the danger of last frost to go away. So I'm not necessarily planting my garden in January, but the idea is still there. I also, we've been tiptoeing around it a little bit, but I love the idea of focusing on shadow work in this time of winter, because the darkness really provides a good container for doing that kind of work. As long as you've gotten through this idea that darkness is not associated with, like, evil and fear and all of that, once you break down those ingrained misconceptions, this is a really great time for shadow work. So for anyone who's unaware, the shadow is a term in psychology that relates to parts of ourselves that we repress or hide away, usually stuff that we've repressed from childhood. And then so shadow work is the work that we do to sort of reconnect with those parts, bring them back into the light, and create one whole version of ourselves. Shadow work is used both in psychology and in spirituality to help heal trauma. Now, side note, always when you're working with trauma, make sure you're working with appropriate medical practitioners as well, you know, therapists and psychologists and stuff. Don't just rely on magic to heal your trauma. But shadow work is a tool that can help you with that. Can also be used to improve your interactions with other people, or even just help you feel, like, more settled and grounded and complete in your body.
Now, here comes the big question that I tend to ask all the time. You say do your shadow work. You say shadow work can help do these things. What does shadow work actually look like? And I know to an extent, I'm sure it's different for every person, but, like, what is, like, a piece of shadow work that you could maybe, like, share?
Yeah. So shadow work is definitely an episode, like, unto itself. But to break it down,
let's get a Cliff Notes version. It's my new favorite saying.
in this sort of atmosphere, not necessarily in mental health, psychology, and stuff like that, but when it comes to spirituality, shadow work is leaning into those parts of yourself that make you uncomfortable and examining why, and examining how you can change that and how that makes you a more whole person, a more spiritual person, or even makes you more solid and grounded in your witchcraft. So tools like divination to help bring clarity to situations, or even help you, like, identify shadow aspects of yourselves. Like, one of my favorite techniques is to rifle through a tarot deck, find the card that makes you the most uncomfortable in the deck. Just looking at it makes you feel like you don't want to look at it anymore. It gives you, like, that nails down a chalkboard vibe. Doesn't matter what the card is. Look at the imagery on the card. Find the one that makes you the most uncomfortable and then sit down and stare at that card and figure out what about it makes you uncomfortable. It's a really great, easy sort of beginner shadow work trick, because a lot of people in this world are very comfortable with tarot. So it's giving you a tool that you're comfortable with, that you're probably already familiar with, and using that tool to get a little uncomfortable about yourself. And then journaling and meditation are also really important tools as well. So when you are doing shadow work, document everything so that you can go back and reference things that you may not remember later on. You can track your progress, especially when you're making positive progress. You want to be able to track that, have a record of your improvement. And the meditation can really help you examine things too, let your subconscious come through and break down why you do things you do, why you feel things you feel, and how you can either learn to work with it or change it to implement it back into your whole being.
Yeah, and I definitely want to double down on that, like, journaling portion of all of this, especially if you're somebody who is working specifically with trauma, as somebody personally who is still working through a lot of trauma. When you're confronting that and you're examining it and you're really kind of bringing it forward, our brains tend to try and, like, pull away from that, and they'll, like, make memories fuzzy, or, like, you just have a hard time remembering things and details. Like, you have a harder time than usual. So that journaling aspect can really help you through that. Because I know, like, I'll have full-blown conversations about my trauma a lot of time. Like, I don't remember a good portion of my therapy sessions because my brain tries to protect me from that, because it's me dredging this stuff up. So that journaling aspect especially can be a huge help.
Absolutely.
Just, again, if you're going that deep and you are somebody that does have that extra layer, again, really would like to reiterate, if you need, you know, if you feel like you need professional help on top of that, make sure that you're not re-traumatizing yourself, because that is also a thing you can do.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, even if you feel like, oh, it's just journaling, it's not, you know, it's not a big deal. If you have trauma, if you have existing trauma, especially if you're already working with a therapist or a psychologist, like, please talk to them before you start, even just something as simple as journaling, just so that they know you're doing it and they can help you do it safely.
Yeah. And again, it's something we'll definitely, you know, talk about during a fuller episode on shadow work, but I did want to very specifically call that out.
So coming off of this topic of darkness and, you know, going within, I think is the perfect segue to the last bit of magic I want to talk about in terms of winter folk magic, which is all about hygge, which is the Danish word that has become super popular over the last few years. You have probably seen it written. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E.
I'm so glad you said it first and didn't ask me to say it. I would have said hygge.
Yes, it looks like it's pronounced like hygge, but it's pronounced hygge because Norwegian words.
Because the Danes.
Because the Danes. But it's a word that doesn't have a direct English translation. So the best way that I can define it is that it's the word for a mood of coziness and warmth and comfort and satisfaction. So think of, like, the feeling you get on a cold, snowy day when you're wrapped up in nice, warm PJs with a thick, soft blanket, and you're drinking a cup of tea or coffee, and you're reading a book, or you're snuggling with your animals, or you're, you know, surrounded by all of your favorite people, and you're eating yummy foods, and it's warm, and it's bright, and it's inviting. Like, that's the concept of hygge. And that feeling can really infuse our winter magic to create light when there is none. And that can be literal, but it can also be metaphorical. So we mentioned earlier, you know, we were talking about seasonal depression and seasonal affective disorder. These concepts of hygge and of creating light and creating warmth with your magic can help combat that. You know, obviously with proper medical supervision and all of that stuff we were talking about, but like it can be another tool in your toolbox to help combat the darkness and the heaviness of winter time if it's something that affects you mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel, like you said, I feel like everybody kind of understands that feeling of Hygge, because it's definitely that like romanticized, you know, picture in your head of like curling up on like in a reading nook. Like it, I feel like it, even instead of snow, you get that feeling a lot on like rainy days as well.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely, it's that same type of feeling. It's that like romanticized notion almost.
And it doesn't have to be big and elaborate either. Like, for example, I have created this environment of Hygge right now, like in this moment as we're talking. I have a thick, fuzzy, soft blanket on my lap because it's cold in my office. I'm holding a cup of warm tea in my hands, and I have a candle that smells deliciously like eggnog lit on my desk. And just these little things have created this very comforting atmosphere so I can settle in and talk magic and witchcraft with you. And that's the magic of Hygge.
Or like the people who take the time to like bath people, where they have the desk that can go over the bathtub, and they like get a glass of wine and their favorite book, and they use all these like soaps and bath bombs. And again, it's that same type of feel where it's just a very contented, relaxed atmosphere, which is also another great place to do spell work, by the way.
Oh yeah. Magical baths are super potent, which we'll talk about in a second.
But okay, I didn't even see that.
But so Hygge is definitely like creating an atmosphere. But you can create this feeling of Hygge in your magic as well, or weave magic into the creation of this Hygge environment in your home. So some ideas for small magic that you can do to sort of bring this feeling in. I found this online too, and I adore this idea of blessing your blankets. So when it starts to get cold, you know, you have your favorite blankets that you love to curl up with, right? Putting them through the wash, like to start the season, and tossing in like an infusion into the washing machine water, or a dryer sheet with a couple drops of essential oil in the dryer with the blanket, or even like spritzing it down with a spray or a flower essence, doing something to bless the blanket with feelings of warmth and comfort and happiness. So that when you do need to curl up with it, like, it's weaving a little bit of magic into that, too, which I think is just the cutest idea, and I'm doing it forever from now on.
I like that a lot. Just check your washing machine and your dryer to make sure that it is something that you can throw stuff into before you do so, please.
Absolutely. Don't break your appliances because we told you to.
But, yes, no, I absolutely love that.
Now, another thing I like to do. As a true New Englander, I drink iced coffee 12 months of the year. However, in the wintertime, I really like drinking hot tea because it's comfort, it's cozy, and it helps keep me warm when it gets cold. So having like a few selections of pre-mixed magical tea blends on hand can really help to bring in that sense of Hygge, but also like you can whip up a quick and easy spell just by making a cup of tea. Herbal teas are just infusions, and a lot of herbal teas don't have caffeine, so you can drink them at any point. A lot of them are even safe for kids. And tea is dried plant matter, so when it's stored properly, it will last a really long time. So you can blend up teas and keep them in an airtight container on your counter all winter long so that you have easy access to them. So, you know, you can have a tea for health, and you can have a tea for purification and cleansing. You can have a tea to just sort of bring about feelings of comfort and warmth if you're having a bad day, and stir a little bit of magic into that cup of tea.
Is there a specific tea blend that, for you personally, just kind of embodies Hygge?
For me personally, I would probably say chais, which is probably going to be a common answer that you get. Chais are warm and they're spicy and they really just feel like, talking about hygge, chai, hot chai to me feels like I'm being wrapped in a fuzzy blanket.
Aww.
Yeah, right? It's very sweet.
That's interesting because, oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I love chai and that's probably... There are a lot of teas that I like to drink, and I'll drink them for different purposes, but that's the one that brings probably the most comfort and hygge to me.
Okay. See, I'm a usual chai drinker, so, like, vanilla chai is my go-to, but a lot of the times, if I'm feeling sick or if I need to feel that, like, more of a relaxation, I go for, there's an orange honey chamomile that I drink, because chais will have caffeine in them, like, just... As a matter, like chai, no matter what, has caffeine.
Because chai is made with black tea, and black tea has caffeine.
Right. So chai is like my daily, like it takes the place of a cup of coffee for me. Like that's my, I need to get up, get going. If I'm feeling sick and I have something that I need to do that day, I'll grab a cup of chai. But like if I just need to slow down and just enjoy the day or the moment or whatever, I go for that orange honey chamomile.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, when you're mixing magical teas, if you have access to like an apothecary or an herbal store, or even just like a tea bar or something, if you have access to different herbs and spices, don't be afraid to mix up your own teas for different magical purposes too. Just the act of drinking something warming will bring in that hygge, and you can absolutely code your tea to a different magical practice. Like you can throw in herbs like hawthorn berries and hibiscus if you're feeling really down and you need a heart boost. You can use peppermint and lavender if you are feeling like magically lethargic. Have you ever had that feeling where you just kind of somewhere in the back of your mind, you know you want to do something magical, but like you're not feeling it and you need to raise that energy and you don't know how?
Absolutely.
Peppermint and lavender is a really good combination for that. So you can have these teas pre-mixed on hand to break out when you need them. And it's a very sort of winter magic because who wants to drink a hot cup of tea in July?
Right. Me, but you know, that's besides the point. I'm weird. We know this. I've lived in New England my whole life. I still don't understand the iced coffee phenomenon.
I drink iced coffee in January, and I would wear flip-flops all year long if it wasn't, like, 6 feet of snow outside.
My fiancé wears flip-flops up to the first snow, like, every year. So,
my partner will go as long as physically possible without wearing a jacket, to the point where this morning, with the wind chill, it was negative 10 degrees, no. And I had to, like, plead with him to bring his jacket with him to work, because...
I'm gonna message him. He's in trouble.
No. In his defense, the sweatshirt that he wears on a daily basis right now, he does wear a sweatshirt every day, and it is very thick. It's the Midgard one that we got from our friendly local game store.
Yes.
But also, like, with wind chill, it was negative this morning. So, come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a New England thing. I don't know. Moving on. Baths are really common folk magic as well. For a similar reason to, like, drinking hot tea is that you don't necessarily want to soak in a hot bath in the middle of July because it's really fucking hot outside. But like in the middle of January when it's cold, especially if you need some time to just sort of sit and be, baths are perfect for this time of year. And you can make them magical by adding different liquids and different herbs, by lighting lots of candles as long as you're doing it safely, by using bath salts, all that stuff. Even like you mentioned earlier, like drinking a cup of wine when you take a bath can be a magical act if that is a sacred drink for you. So like I would swap wine out for mead and boom, I'm, you know, having a sacred bath time.
Right.
There's also a common practice around the end of January, the beginning of February for Imbolc of taking milk baths. So adding a little bit of milk to the bath, goes into the history behind the day, which is really interesting. Definitely go look it up. We don't really have the time to get into the history of Imbolc right now, but
we will have an Imbolc episode.
Yes. But it's a thing, and it's actually really good for your skin to add a little bit of milk to your bath. So do that. Another thing that you can do around this time of year, which you can do this at any time of year. This one isn't necessarily specific to winter, but I think it sort of, it hits differently in the wintertime, is the act of creating rituals around things that bring you joy. So we typically talk about this with like self-care rituals, you know, like doing things that make you happy, that fill up your cup. But specifically, I think they hit differently in the wintertime because it's so much easier for our batteries to get drained. Whereas if you're an extrovert, you're not seeing as many people, especially right now with COVID and quarantine and all of that. You're not spending as much time outside. You're not getting as much sunlight and vitamin D. So doing things that make you happy is really important this time of year, even if they're little things. Like for me, it would be drinking my cup of coffee in the morning. And maybe I pair that with pulling my tarot and my rune or lighting some of my favorite incense. But like that little ritual of doing that every day, pulling my tarot card, drinking my cup of coffee, you know, journaling. And it's not something that needs to be in depth or lengthy or complicated because I don't have a lot of time in the morning. So it's like a 5-minute process. I'm going to have my coffee anyway, right? So I just take a moment to pull my tarot card, think about what it means, sip my coffee, and then I'm off on my day. That little ritual is something that I can look forward to that brings me joy. And that's definitely, there's magic in that, starting your day off on the right foot like that. What is a ritual that you like to do in the wintertime that brings you joy?
So don't make fun of me. And it really has like almost nothing to do with magic beyond the fact that it's me taking care of myself, which is magical in its own right.
Uh-huh.
I have my old lady time.
Old lady time?
Let me explain.
Okay.
So I historically have a hell of a time sleeping. And like I've developed without even really meaning to this ritual at night as I'm going to sleep where I'll put on some type of like video essay. So lately it's been like somebody talking about secrets in Skyrim that you probably missed. And these are all videos that I have probably seen 3 or 4 times each. So I don't really pay attention to them, but I just have them on the background because his voice is very calming and like it's not super energetic or it's not super yelly like a lot of other YouTubers can be. And I take my iPad and I play solitaire and that's it. And my fiance makes fun of me because I lay in bed for like half an hour to an hour, depending on the night and how awake I still am, playing solitaire. And I've almost Pavloved myself into solitaire putting me to sleep. But I have
absolutely will not make fun of you.
I have my little old lady time and then I go to bed. And it's a great way as somebody who is constantly go, 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 go with the ADHD brain and like staying up late and I'm constantly on computers and I'm constantly stimulated. It's a great transition while also like giving my brain something to focus on. It's at this point it's become so second nature to just line up the cards and then watch them all go into the aces, and like it's become this really nice transition for me, and I'm self-conscious about it, so I'm rambling, but
no, I honestly I love that. And like the idea of using something to train and like trick your brain into making you tired, like the same thing every night before you go to bed, is totally like a tried and true technique. Like when you have children, they say that you should have a bedtime routine and you should do the same thing every night, because eventually their brains will be like, oh, I'm going through these steps that I do every night before I go to bed. It must be time to get tired. So don't let him make fun of you for that, because I think that's beautiful.
He does it in a good-natured way. Don't get me wrong. It's one of those, like, he's poking fun at me, but secretly I can tell he just thinks it's cute.
Yeah, of like, course.
So,
he wouldn't be your fiance any other way.
Right, exactly. But no, so that's kind of become a daily ritual for me, is, like, instead of, like, a morning daily ritual, because, again, I'm somebody who, like, I can wake up and within 5 minutes be jumped out of bed and be awake. So for me, it's a lot more of that taking care of myself to make sure that I can get to sleep.
Yeah, so, for sure. I love that. And it does give you a good foundation for adding something magical to it if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So I like that. All right. So Liz, to wrap up, I have one more winter folk magic suggestion.
Okay.
So talking about the idea of darkness and using light to fight back the darkness, and especially dealing with, you know, mental health issues and sad and seasonal depression and all of that. This is something that I really like to do. Technically, I do this on the winter solstice, or somewhere around the winter solstice. But if you're listening to this now and this is the first time you've heard of this idea, you can still do it now. It's totally fine. On a bright day, or during a full moon, or during a time when you're feeling particularly happy and content, gather just an absolute shit ton of white candles. And you're going to bless them, essentially. You're going to fill them with that feeling and that energy of lightness and warmth and that hygge and that idea of the light will always come back. The light will always return. It is providing you safety in the darkness, safety to stay in that darkness until the light comes back. So you're taking all of these themes and ideas and you're infusing them into these candles. You can carve into them words or symbols that represent those intentions, or just to help you designate those as your special, like, folk magic candles. And then you can just pull one out when you're having a day where you need a boost of energy, whether it's emotional energy, you're having a really bad mental health day, you can pull out one of those special candles and light it and to sort of give you a boost. Or if you are having a really, like, energetically sluggish day, or if you have a ritual to do that you aren't really getting in the mindset for, anything that you need a boost, whether it's mundane or magical, you can pull out one of these candles and it will help bring back that energy that you had when you made them, which is why you want to do it either under a full moon or when you're in a really good mental health day. The magic of witchcraft with a dash of psychology sort of helps our brains to remember that state of mind so we can fall into it easier. Like we just talked about, we're basically tricking ourselves to get back into that mindset, but winter is a really good time for that because it's so easy to forget that level of energy and forget to be happy and forget to remember that the light is returning. So I love just, you know, blessing the shit out of all these candles and then using them in a pinch when I need them.
Well, and the nice thing is that, like, bulk buying white tea lights, super cheap. Like Walmart, Target, any of those, like stores like that, a bulk of white tea lights, just mwah, super cheap.
And you can even pop the tea light out of its little metal container if you wanted to carve into it and then put it back into the container if you wanted to draw sigils or write words and then just store them until you need them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, I really like that idea.
Yeah. So that's what I have for winter folk magic.
Awesome. So thank you for hanging out with us and returning back to our regularly scheduled witchy programming. Again, I super appreciate everybody's patience on this, both listeners and radia. Thank you. So this
we love
episode,
you.
Right. Thank you.
Liz, we love you, but also Liz and I love all of you listening.
Absolutely. So this episode should be airing on January 16th, which means our next episode will be coming out on January 30th.
Yeah.
Do we know what that episode is going to be yet? I think we have a little bit of shuffle going on because of the missed week. So I'm not actually sure if we've scheduled that out yet. We're so good at this, guys.
We have, but I'm not going to say what it is in case we change our minds between now and then.
That's totally fine. Either way, it's going to be a banger.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what, it should be airing on the 30th. We are getting back on track here. So, yeah, if you would like to interact with us in the meantime or maybe hear what the episode will be when we do decide or talk to us about some of your favorite winter magic or spells that you like to do, please throw us a follow on any of our social medias. Our handles are 2bytorchlight pretty much everywhere. Or you can email us at 2bytorchlight@gmail.com.
We've been getting more emails and comments on posts and messages through social media and on Discord. And we are super appreciative, and we love every single one of you guys, and we love talking to you and hearing about your own practices. So yeah, absolutely, don't feel shy about reaching out, even if it's just to just be like, hey, I listened to your episode. I thought it was cool. Wanted to say hi. Like, we love that so much.
I know. I just got a message like that the other day, and it made my day, and I screenshotted it, and I sent it to you, and I was like, oh my God, look. So yes, please rest assured that we do read those, and we do get, like, just the geekiest of excitement from it. So, oh yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. And I know we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but if you want to actively join in on the conversation in between episodes and get, like, actual almost live access to us, you can join us on Discord. So the Discord channel is Modern Day Magic. I don't know if Discord gives you a way to search for a specific server.
It but doesn't.
We'll definitely put a link in the show notes so that you guys can get to that.
Yes, and it is also linked on our website, www.2bytorchlight.com. So it's pretty easy to find us, you know, just using that handle.
Yeah, we don't hide. We're not hiding.
we hid a lot of things for most of our lives. We're done with that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Is there anything else we should cover?
Just how much I love you.
Oh, I love you too. All
right, besides that, that should be it. So we will hear from you all, and you will hear from us in 2 weeks. Until then, I hope you have a wonderful life, day, weeks, something.
Yes. Stay warm and stay magical.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening and for supporting the creation of this podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at www.2bytorchlight.com, along with episode archives, contact info, our press kit, and more. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks for another episode.